If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch here on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland filling in for Bob Haney here with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw behind the glass. We're going until 2 o'clock right here on The Fan. Let's go out to New England. We knew it was a quarterback battle between Jacoby Brissett and first-round pick Drake May out of North Carolina. Drake May has outplayed Jacoby Brissett throughout the preseason. New head coach Gerard Mayo did say that wouldn't be the only, you know, thing that they're taking into account, who looks better on the field. And I guess he was right, because Drake May did not win this battle. It turned out to be Jacoby Brissett getting the start. And there's a lot of different opinions. Some people feel like this is the right move, considering that Patriots offensive line is a huge question mark. You don't want to send your first round pick out there behind that line, especially kind of with the gauntlet of a schedule that they have to start the year. And then there are others that are just like, throw the kid out there, let him figure it out. First round pick, it's the new age NFL. Nobody holds a clipboard anymore. Where do you side?
I can see both sides. I think the thing is, if your offensive line is that bad and you're not going to be able to run the football and stuff, and he's going to get the crap beat out of him.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's got some athleticism where he can run and stuff. Definitely. Like he did against Washington, the other day. If I'm the general manager, I probably want to see my young guy play.
Mm-hmm.
Fan base wants to see the young guy play. Who they opening with?
Let me see here. The Patriots are opening up against the Bengals in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The start of their schedule isn't that bad looking at it. Maybe some defenses that they have to worry about. Definitely not Cincinnati's. But week two, they're back home against Seattle. Week three, they're in New York against the Jets. Week four, they're in San Francisco against the Niners. Week five, back at home against the Dolphins, and then the next week they also have the Texans coming in.
Yeah, I think probably what they're saying is Jacoby Brissett gives them the best chance to win right now. But then you go look at C.J. Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
You go look at Bryce Young, who had a terrible offensive line, and that was a disaster.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got to do what... We've got the scenarios for all of them out there, and you just got... Can he handle it? Can he handle it? Because, Cordell, playing in the preseason with all that vanilla stuff, regular season, going to be totally different.
Yeah.
So, I don't have a problem. Because what did everybody say about Drake May when he was coming out? I mean, even watching him on film, he needs a year to learn. And maybe he still does. But maybe they're happy because they've seen him grow and grow and grow. And having time may be the best thing for him. Look at Jordan Love.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, and I'm kind of in between. I mean, I guess the people, the Jordan Love thing, yeah, we talked about Patrick Mahomes sitting behind Alex Smith for a while. Now, granted, when you're sitting behind Alex Smith and you're sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, it feels a little different compared to sitting behind Jacoby Brissett. But that said, and I agree, the offensive line is bad. The team is bad. I mean, what are we really expecting the Patriots to do this year?
Maybe a better comparison would be the Zach Wilson situation.
Yeah, I mean, and maybe he was always going to be trash.
Yeah,
we don't know. Don't know. It's another situation of a quarterback going to a bad franchise. And the Patriots, I wouldn't categorize them as a bad franchise. They're a bad football team right now. I wouldn't call them a bad franchise. My thing is, if Brissett's out there, if he's out there to be this human punching bag, and he inevitably gets hurt, then Drake May's got to go play behind this bad offensive line anyway. I mean, what's the difference to me, what's the difference between him starting today and him starting week six? That's kind of where I am.
We saw it against Washington, Cordell. It was what, the first play of the game? I mean, they busted the assignments and turned that guy totally free. I don't know. I think they probably don't want their rookie quarterback to get the crap beat out of him and get hurt early in the year and miss all that time.
All right. And I totally get that. I just struggle with, if Brissett's eventually going to get hurt himself, then you're still going to end up playing him
in his
first year. Let's go out to New York's looking on the Jets. Two things with the Jets. Number one, Jets GM says the ball is in Hassan Reddick's court. Remember, he's been holding out. Right now, he's still not there. This is a guy that they traded for earlier this offseason. Hasn't really turned out to be a good situation just yet between the two sides. He's looking for a new deal. They want to see him on the field before they do anything. This is obviously not an ideal situation with the season starting a week away.
No, not at all. Because he's a productive pass rusher, and they definitely need that. I think their point is, the Jets' point is, that we won't discuss anything until you come into the building. And he won't come into the building.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
That is the problem indeed. Elsewhere, it looks like, and this is according to Ben Standick from The Athletic, is saying about the Jets, he said that an agent is telling him that there is complete disarray over there. Look at how, this is all quotes, they are in complete disarray over there. Look at how they've handled Aaron Rodgers. Has one player had more power than him? He skipped minicamp. They have been unable to convert him into a team player. The vibe inside the building is terrible. Is that any different than any other year for the Jets? I mean, this is why I keep saying I don't feel great about the Jets this season. Aaron Rodgers or not, on paper, they look great. I'll acknowledge that. The defense is still intact. You get Rodgers back with those receivers. They rebuilt the offensive line. I'd like Breece Hall. There's a lot to like on the field with the Jets. I'm a fan of a team that has been bad for decades, and at times on paper, they had a good team, but still, it's about more than just what you see in front of your face.
Yeah. Man, I have a, unless I'm totally naive, I have a hard time believing, because I know a couple of coaches and I've talked to them, and they, you know.
It's all great over there.
Yeah, I mean, they're now Saleh and Rodgers, I mean, they kind of snip back and forth at each other, so I don't know that that's great. But I think the players, I think they totally respect Rodgers. And you know what, you don't think in Indianapolis, Peyton Manning?
Oh, I'm sure he's had a headache. Yeah.
And demanding, and Brady and Tampa?
I guess the difference here is Manning did things in Indianapolis. Not that Rodgers hasn't done things in this league. He obviously has. He has the reputation for a reason. But for a guy that missed pretty much all of last season outside of the first 5 minutes of the game, you would think that showing up to minicamp, for instance, I mean, it was a lot of people here that got on Lamar for not showing up at various times to voluntary OTAs. Here, Rodgers is missing mandatory minicamp. I mean, that's just not a good way to get the season started, especially if this is supposed to be a new era for the Jets.
Yeah. The only thing about that is, you know, the minicamp, that was in June. Now, you know, we've had how many weeks of training camp and stuff. I don't know that that really matters that much right now.
Yeah, I just think that they're a reality TV show. That's how I look at the Jets, honestly. I think they've got the talent. We'll see. I still don't expect them to even win that division out there in the AFC East.
Well, speaking of reality TV, the Hard Knocks on the Bears is good.
Oh, yeah?
What has it been, three episodes? I've watched them all, and I think it's over now, probably. But it was well done, and I liked the camaraderie of their football team. You can kind of see it and feel it, you know, on the screen. That's why I think the Bears are going to be kind of, especially if Caleb Williams does well. I think they're going to be a tough a tough team to play against every week.
No, we know the AFC North is going to have their own version of hard knocks this year. And Eric DaCosta talked a little bit about that today, about the practice. He was asked if he's in fear of some of his practice squad players being poached because of Hard Knocks and stuff like that. And he said he wasn't necessarily worried about that. He said, honestly, if it's up to him, a lot of his practice squad players won't be shown on the show. But yeah, he said he wasn't really concerned about teams getting a look at their players and poaching their guys.
Well, the thing about it is they have final say on anything.
Mm-hmm.
And with the Bears, the thing with the Bears was there was a couple of those young running, like the kid from Howard I told you about.
Mm-hmm.
I liked him a lot, and so did they. But then in the last preseason game, he tore his ACL.
Right, right.
So that was kind of a bummer. But, I mean, it showed some of their young guys that, you know, I mean, unless you watch a show, you don't, or you're
a
pro scout,
right,
you would know.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney is full-fledged college football season. We've got a lot of college football games on tonight, including Deion's team. And I know a lot of people are waiting to see what Colorado's going to do this season. We'll look at the college football slate next here on The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Quite a few college games on tonight. We got 4 ranked teams on the slate tonight. And number 24, NC State against Western Carolina. Number 11, Missouri against Murray State. Number 22, Kansas against Lindenwood. And number 12, Utah against Southern Utah as well.
Yeah, it's to me, the games that really excite me tonight, I want to see North Carolina, Minnesota,
mm-hmm.
because I think the ranked teams are really kind of got the
right.
a bye, you
right.
know, preseason game. Whereas Minnesota, North Carolina probably should be a pretty good game. And I also think that the Colorado, North Dakota State is a real good football team. And they've won, what, Division II championship
mm-hmm.
6 of the last 7 years. They got a lot of veterans coming back. Colorado's got 65 new players on their team. They got some, you know, some guys that are going to be high draft picks. Colorado should beat them, but I don't think it's going to be easy. So those are 2 games that I'm really interested in. And then you always got to kind of keep an eye on the Big Ten teams. Illinois is playing tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing at home against Eastern Illinois. And
Rutgers and Howard.
Rutgers and Howard's on the Big Ten Network, 6 o'clock tonight. So I'll check that one out because Cordell, 6 o'clock, I'll watch the Rutgers game at 6. And, you know, then I can, the Minnesota North Carolina game's on Fox. And then the Colorado game's on ESPN. And just because the Orioles don't play till 10:10.
Right. Right, you got to find some way to stay up for that game. And is there a team in the nation with, you know, I don't even want to say higher expectations, but probably more pressure than Colorado right now?
Well, I think it's all self-imposed.
It is.
And the reason, and Colorado probably puts out more videos and more social medias than anybody. So they want it, Cordell. They want it. And, you know how many videos, I mean, Deion's on there all the time. Warren Sapp is on there all the time. Those are kind of the two. And then, you know, the players. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, but the buzz last year was pretty cool at the beginning of the season. You got to mm-hmm. admit that. And like all the, especially if they can get on a run, but I don't know. I mean, they got a hell of a schedule and Nebraska's going to be good. I'm really looking forward to seeing Nebraska, Cordell, with the Raiola, the freshman quarterback,
yeah.
who looks just like Patrick Mahomes.
Hopefully he plays like him.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. So, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things that are going on. And then, you know, like on Saturday night, you know, you talk about the Notre Dame-Texas A&M game.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying that if Notre Dame wins this game, just boom, they have a real good chance to win out. But the problem with Notre Dame is left tackle and left guard, they're starting 2 freshmen. So, and A&M's defensive line is very good. So it's going to be a tough challenge for the Irish Saturday night. So that's going to be it's a good weekend of football. And then, Cordell, I mean, Sunday night, let me see, which game is Sunday? Sunday night, there's some real good.
USC and LSU Sunday
night. Yeah, USC at LSU, and then Monday night, Boston College at Florida State. I mean, Florida State's got to come out there and just kind of...
They need to smack them around.
Yeah, and I don't know if Agungile is good enough to do that.
What about Saturday afternoon? You got number one Georgia against 14 Clemson.
Oh, I think that's going to be a blowout. Yeah. I think Clemson's kind of gone down. They don't get involved in the portal.
Nope.
So
Dabo still anti-NIL, everything new age these days.
Yeah, so he's not going to get any players. He's just going to get guys. He's going to get 2- and 3-star guys and then hope that he can develop those guys into that where Georgia – they're getting 5-star guys, and they're probably paying $10 million.
I think he's going to be the next one in terms of coaches that are kind of bowing out of college sports these days because they don't like where it's going or they don't feel like they can kind of handle it. I think he's going to be the next one, Dabo, because he's been hesitant to kind of get with the times, and there's no point in fighting the system.
Right.
It's happening whether you want it to or not.
Yeah, he's stiff-arming the system. You know, he wants the old way, and the old way is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's never coming back. So you got to adapt or move on. And I think the alumni, especially if they get blown out.
Oh, yeah.
If they get blown out in this one, whispers are going to start. And I agree, Corey. I mean, if they have a rough year, I think Dabo may be heading somewhere else, too.
410-583-1057 is the number. Let's grab a call before we go to break. Let's go to Joe in Woodbury. Joe, thanks for holding.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
All right, Joe.
Yeah, man, I'm sitting here messing with music, listening to y'all talk. Hey, man, we were talking. Some guys we know, they keep real good stats. So they got a stat out. I don't know if you got them, Cordell, got that paperwork. On every pitch Burns throws, going back over the years, how much they've hit off it, that pitch in the past and how much they've hit off his pitch now. Now, he's still got velocity, but location is what it's all about. So, I mean, his numbers are falling dramatically, and he's not the $50 million man anymore. And me, personally, I'd give him a day off. What I mean, a day off, I mean, the next day he's supposed to pitch, I'd give him that day off, and I'll wait to the rotation come all the way back around again. Because I think that's what he may need. He may be psychologically, I don't know about physically, but putting him out there. Now, yesterday, everything was like catastrophic with the defense. That kills me, man. We were one of the best defensive teams last year. What happened? So, basically, all three phases of the team are really in a disarray. But look where we at. We still got a possibility to win. So, can you say it's luck? Because we sure enough can't say it's all skill. Y'all have a great day, brothers.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Joe. And look, it's a valid question. Like, maybe Burns could use a day off, you know, a skip in the rotation. Now, the problem is they can't afford to necessarily do that. They aren't in a place right now in terms of their able bodies, in terms of the arms that they actually trust to and where they are in this division race and the everything that's going on right now. I don't know if this is the time to do that, but if they feel like that's kind of the best way to get Burns back on track, if Burns feels like that's what he needs to get back on track, it may be something that they look at.
I think those veteran kind of guys that, you know, have had success like that, they know their bodies and they know what they need. And, you know, Burns is not afraid to talk to the media or talk, you know, I'm sure talk to Hyder and tell him, hey, I could use an extra day. I'm sure they ask him. I mean, because he's been struggling, you know, not that it's a bad thing. I mean, you know, he's had twins.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in California, right. so he's probably running home and stuff and flying back. So there's a lot of other things going on in his life, too, this past month.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll bring in Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio, talk some sports and fantasy football with him. That's next here on The Fan. on the Fan. We've been talking a lot of Ravens today, talking a lot of Orioles as well. Orioles wrapping up that series out in L.A. Got college football this weekend. It's fantasy football time. Perfect time to bring in Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. What's going on, Mike?
What's going on, guys? How are we today?
Good. Not bad. Not bad. All right, Mike, I got a slew of fantasy questions for you today, so just expect a lot of that from me. I've had two drafts to this point. Jamar Chase is the one guy that's very intriguing because it seems like nobody really knows when to take him. Now, the two drafts that I've had, I had a 16-man. That's my big, big league, obviously, and a 12-team one. And in both of those, you could tell everybody is uneasy when it comes to Jamar Chase. It was CeeDee Lamb as well, but after he got that contract, everybody feels a lot better about his situation. How should fantasy managers approach drafting Jamar Chase?
I think you draft him as normal, and then you just make sure you're diligent in filling out the position from there. I mean, in the end, there's too much at stake for anybody to sit out, right? You got gamesmanship, and we'll get to Trent Williams, I'm sure, in a minute. Like, he's got a little bit of a different story in terms of the leverage that he has. For Jamar Chase, he'll get back to work, right? Now it's the devil in the details, and yeah, we worry about soft tissue injuries and all that stuff. On average, he's being drafted as the fourth wide receiver. I've got him third, and that's where I'd keep him. So I would draft him as normal. No need to panic yet.
Well, that's good news, at least for me, because I did end up taking him in the first round with that same thinking. Let's go to some running backs. I want to go out to Miami. Last year, we saw Raheem Mostert have a career year, finally was able to stay healthy and put up monster numbers. We also saw then rookie Devon Achane come in and really jump onto the scene in a big way with a lot of chunk runs, a lot of big plays, scoring touchdowns as well. Miami leaned very heavy into that run game last year. How are you looking at that backfield this year with a lot of people expecting Achane to kind of be the bell cow?
Yeah, I don't know how much they'll use him to the bell cow type of thing for fear of A, injury, and B, you've got grander aspirations, right? It's kind of like usage there in Baltimore. I mean, you got six or seven teams, I think, in the NFL, go back to Cincinnati to a degree, where you're like, all right, it's not about, hey, let's just have a nice regular season. It's a, we got to get everybody healthy and ready and on board for a big playoff run. To that point, you know, in Miami, you now have a third guy in Jalen Wright that needs to be looked at deeper in leagues. But, you know, Mostert, we had the opportunity to talk to him a couple of weeks ago. So find the podcast for that. It was one of the more entertaining interviews that we've done with an athlete in quite some time. Very giving and had a really good perspective on things. But, you know, Achane's a guy I've got drafted as a back end number one. In that, you know, 11 to 14 range for me. I'm a little lower, I think, than most, because I think Mostert still has a big role here. The regression in the touchdown total from the 18, but healthy, he's still going to have a big role. I don't think it becomes the one-sided decision for McDaniel that most do with Achane. He's explosive. He's great, but he's no good if he's on the sideline cheering in December and January.
Hey, Mike, I got a fantasy question for you. Has the new kickoff rule changed anything with fantasy?
No. Absolutely not. The average return expecting to be, all right, you'll start at the 30 to 32. Yay. So, yeah, I mean, I guess if you're getting yardage in your league, as some do, that maybe there's a little bit of juice for guys that are returners. You know, Kyren Williams going to return punts and whatever. But otherwise, no, there's not much of a difference here at all, at least to my thinking. You know, you might have a few more returns, so those get tacked on for touchdowns that get tacked on to the team defenses as it stands. But, you know, as of now, I think it's a lot more theory than, I mean, we've got to see it in practice to see what kind of wrinkles guys get to give you any kind of juice. So for now, I don't think it changes your strategy at all.
All right, Mike, I've been watching all your Bears on Hard Knocks and stuff, and I like what's going on in their building and stuff. What is your feeling on the Bears this year. I'm kind of excited about them.
Oh, no, it's fun. I mean, Hard Knocks stinks. I mean, there's nothing there. I mean, because of a difference to the McCaskey, they're not even cursing at each other. The most entertaining stuff were the backup quarterbacks, their family, and DJ Moore's family trip to the ice cream shop. I mean, I guess we could do a spin-off of about DJ Moore's kids. They were kind of entertaining. But otherwise, it's fairly boring. But
the arm wrestling was good.
Well, you know, you get what's-his-face's dad mixed in.
Bagent,
yeah. And he's a guy that's kind of interesting to me. Because I've watched enough of him to where I'm like, I'm convinced he might be able to start for about half of the league. But that's a thing for another time. But as a squad, yeah, I mean, you got everything. They're buying what Eberflus is selling, or so it seems. You've got a roster that's built and ready to compete. It's a tough division, so like you're not going to make some huge leaps. And I think folks forget, even in the drafting of Caleb Williams, they did win 7 games last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's not like they were the bottom feeders. They were great, but, I mean, they won 7 games. They get the number one pick because Carolina failed, right? So some of that's got to be taken into account. That, I mean, even if you're much better, how many wins does that translate to? Another 2? Maybe 3, but you got the wide receivers. We'll be eager to see if Keenan Allen's knees hold up on what is, to me, the worst playing surface in the National Football League. DeAndre Swift, same thing with his legs. So, I mean, there's certainly some concerns and questions, but, you know, for a guy who's been following this team, and look, I'm not ashamed to say it, I've survived half a century at this point. I can't think of many times you were this geeked up going into a season ready to, you know, open your present like it was Christmas. Maybe 2 or 3 years with some of the quarterback changes or whatever, but otherwise this is it. Like, this is as cool a look to a squad and feel to a squad as there is. They opened the first 3 weeks against the AFC South, week 2 against C.J. Stroud, where it looks like they kind of modeled some of the stuff after what the Texans have been doing. So, yeah, it's out of the gate. You get some of those great tests. So it'll be a fun run. And Caleb Williams, a guy that I've got, for fantasy purposes, to tie it back to there, I've got him 9th in my quarterback ranks.
We're talking to Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Mike, kind of sticking with fantasy, I want to go to Pittsburgh and their running back room between Najee Harris and Jaylen Warren. It feels like, especially last year, I feel like everybody wanted Jaylen Warren to get more opportunities than maybe Pittsburgh felt like he should have gotten. And I thought Najee finished the season off really well. He was really kind of the primary source of their offense with no quarterback. They just ran the ball 40 times a game. How do you feel about that backfield, and who would you prioritize if you did have to pick between those two?
Yeah, it's funny because Harris kind of had a season like Aaron Jones did with the Packers last year, where a little bit banged up, not really dominant, and then the second half suddenly puts up some numbers, and away you go. I think in terms of the split, you know, Harris is still the top guy, but, you know, it's negligible. He's a back-end number 2. Warren coming off the board on average in drafts only 4 or 5 slots later. So nothing to be excited there. It really comes down to how much do you believe Arthur Smith can cajole something big out of Russell Wilson and Justin Fields? Because to me, you're looking at trying to find where the touchdowns show up. Right, in between the 20s is all fine and good, and they'll both catch the ball out of the backfield, Warren a little more, perhaps frequently there if he's healthy. But, yeah, all in all, can they get to 20 points a game? There's your magic number. You guys haven't. I think when they announced Russell Wilson, not a surprise, but you guys may or may not have popped mini bottles of champagne.
Hey, Michael, is there any buzz? Excuse me. Is there any buzz about SC and UCLA college football to start the weekend? And then which game you like this weekend?
In terms of buzz around here, there's a little bit for USC because, well, you still have expectations of your offense to be able to do something. You know, quarterback got his run in the bowl game, so maybe you're building on something. But there's also the hot seat aspect that's kind of sitting there in the background, and it's lukewarm, right? It's one of those things. Let's just get the water starting to get to temperature for us. With UCLA, no, there's no juice whatsoever because they're not expected to be good. You've got a guy who played there. I mean, we talked about the Foster pressers and whatever that still have people chuckling around here. So I think it's going to take a minute before folks really take them seriously. There's intrigue, but not really a lot of buzz because don't forget, all of a sudden, attention had to be focused back on the Dodgers because the lead in the division suddenly was shrinking so fast. And then last night, you know, obviously you watched what you did. Yeah, so USC LSU is a game to watch this weekend. That'll be fun. Obviously, everybody paying attention to Colorado tonight for myriad reasons. So we got that going for us. And then Clemson and Georgia. All right, Dabo still rates. They're ranked 14th. Georgia, the number one team in the country. It's a 2-touchdown spread. But as we know, week one sometimes give us a little bit of chaos. So perhaps we'll find some there. I think those are the games that really stand out most. Notre Dame and Texas A&M. Notre Dame always ranked highly. See if they can live up to it. So, you know, there's a couple in week one, so that's exciting. You know, we wetted our beak a little bit last week, and now we get into it in earnest.
Mike, great stuff, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people catch up with you and your show?
Find me everywhere, at Swollen Dome, Instagram, and Twitter, X, whatever we're calling it these days. Even TikTok somewhere there. I think it's Harmon Rant. The show, 4 hours a night. Find it on every platform. Get the podcast. Have it in the companion with you in the car or as you're walking the dog or as you're trying to fall asleep. I'll keep you awake for a little while, but eventually you'll have no energy left. You'll have laughed so hard.
And then Sunday morning on Sirius Radio, too.
Yeah, Sunday's back at it once again. So that'll be 8 to 10 your time, myself. Cincinnati legend Andy Furman and Bucky Brooks, years in the league and NFL Network and such. So we'll break down all the games and get you going. A little preview this week.
Great stuff, Mike. Really appreciate it, man. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Mike.
Appreciate you guys. Yep. Be good. Have a good week.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up. Take one last trip with through the Funhouse before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan.
It's either going to be a sad day next Friday or a happy day,
yeah.
Nolan.
The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Alrighty, we'll start here. This texter says the Orioles can make a statement tonight. Young guys need to let the leadership take control and lead by example. I see Cade Povich going 5 scoreless.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I mean, look, they're going up against Miller on the other side, who hasn't necessarily been great for them this year. So, look, hopefully the lefty and Povich can go out there, give them some problems. But, yeah, it's the rubber match. Anything can happen. I expect it to be some scoring in tonight's game, though.
Just hopefully there's good defense tonight. That's the key.
It'd be a good start. This texter says, considering he delivered 3 months of dominance, I can stomach a tough August for Burns. At least there's time to turn it around. Had this happened in September, after 4 straight months of dominance, we would really be panicking heading into the postseason.
Yeah. It's not a great time for that to happen at any point, especially right now when you're getting, I would say you're already kind of in that playoff push, but especially going into September, it's not ideal. And that combined with all the other struggles that the team is having right now, I think that's the biggest issue. That's what's making a lot of people uneasy. It's like, is there anything good that this Orioles team is doing on a regular basis right now? I would say no.
And the other thing is all your other guys are hurt. And you need him to be that guy to set the tone.
This texter here chiming in says, why is any of this happening with the Orioles? It seems like the whole team is in a funk. Fundamentally challenged across the board. The whole team's whole team seems to have poor fundamentals and no discipline.
I don't know if that's the case because, again, this isn't like, it's not like we were having these same discussions about them last year. Defensively, they were sound last year. They did, you know, do all the right things. So it's something is happening right now. They're obviously under more stress in this era than they have been since the team has gotten good and had any real expectations. Yep. I mean, coming into the season, this was the first time they had true expectations. We didn't expect them to win the AL East last year. At least that's not what we were banging on the table for coming into the season. Now, that's what happened. They went on to win 100-plus games. But this year was different. You're expecting them to make some noise this year. And I think with their struggles and them just trying to get back on track, it's definitely weighing on this young team
a
lot.
What do they say, Nolan? Pressure burst pipes.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. One last one from Tim. He's talking Ravens. Says, keeping Devin Leary on the practice squad, even that makes no sense to me. He can't read the defense, stares down his receivers, also inaccurate. I thought Emory Jones would have been a better fit for a third quarterback on the practice squad.
I think there's probably somebody better out there than either one of those two. Because when we were at practice a lot, Cordell, when those guys are on the field, nothing gets done offensively.
Emory Jones had the nice play on the layup bomb for a touchdown. It was nice. It was great. Other than that, there's really nothing else to talk about with Emory Jones, and I'm just being honest. I mean, it's just the way it was this summer. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Great job on the board and in the seat for my guy, Quick Draw McGraw, today. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. Until next time, class dismissed.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.